Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Friday night's edition of Writing Royalty Radio, the Spotlight Author Edition. How are you, Miss T?
Hey, Alicia, how you doing? I am happy
to be here
with you.
I'm happy to be here. How has your week been?
Girl, I have been grinding so hard. It's just been so busy, as usual. As you know, we haven't spoke much, but when we did speak, I always felt like I was rushed, but I always wanted to make sure I connected with you, partner, so that we can have a fantastic show. I'm just looking forward to meeting these two great authors this evening. What about you?
Absolutely. We're going to have a good time. Both authors, I think, are kind of geek, too. They're excited to come and just share their time and work with us, and I'm glad that they're able to do that. But you have a special edition. We have What's Hot with Miss Tony. That's our special edition that will be added to our Wednesday night show and our Friday night show. Are you excited?
Yes, I am, and I just hope I can live up to the hype, girl. But tonight, I am going to talk about Feebles, one of his latest books, I Used to Love Her. You know, I know you had a little problem with Amazon trying to get that book, and I believe you finally got it, right?
Yes, ma'am. I was a little bitter for a minute because everybody else had it but me.
I have to tell you, Leisha, I have to give heads up to Devo. He did a great job, and it introduced me into a world that I wasn't really familiar with, that hip-hop world, and it was really interesting and exciting. You know, he had the lead characters, Trey, Tina, and that Dana character. Kanisha had said earlier when the book first dropped that she could not stand Dana. And I always wondered why until I actually read the book. And I kind of agree with her. That Dana is a character. Have you read and learned about her yet?
I have not started it yet. Right now I'm in between, like, three different books. I thought when I was in school, I just didn't have no time. But now that I'm out of school, I still have no time. So, yeah, I'm reading Payback, Blood, Sweat, and Payback book. And I'm reading another book. Plus, I'm reading Honey Bee's new book. Can't think of the name of it, but Mary B. Morrison has a new book that's out, and I'm reading that.
Wow, you got a lot going on, too. I'm reading Shakir's Awakening. You know, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I've read a few of his other books. I have two or three books open, but regarding Bebo's book, it was really good. I'm not going to give too much away because, like you, there may be others that haven't read it. But please get this in your library. It was very, very good. I love the detail. You know, he's known for that character building. And he did a fantastic job building these characters. It just makes you look at hip-hop in a whole new light. So I really enjoyed that book. So please, if you haven't one-clicked that book or ordered it off of Amazon, do yourself a favor and get that in your library. You won't be disappointed. Great job, Bebo.
Good job, B. I hear it's a hot number. Is that your review or you have more?
I read till my casket dropped. I read Bebo's version because, you know, we're still waiting for Cash's copy to drop. While we wait for that, I did read Bebo's, and it was pretty good. I haven't put my review on yet, and, you know, we can't make a decision until we read both books.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, have you read your version yet?
Yeah, I read Bebo's version, and I put my my post on Amazon for my review of it. I did that, and I'm still waiting for Cash. He's going to drop that casket on Bebo's head, so I'm super excited about that.
You know we team Cash. But it was really good, and it's really exciting to see these two powerhouse authors come together and make epic history with this one book, rather two books, one title, two authors. You know, the build-up was great, the anticipation was there, and, you know, while we're all waiting for Cash's, I hope everyone really gives Bebo's version a fair shot and read it, because it's really good, and we can't really judge and make a decision unless you've actually read both books, you know, and that was the whole purpose of the whole competition, is to read both books by both authors with that one title. You agree, girl?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also, you know, a lot of times as readers, we get so stuck into reading one type of author, and all authors have various styles of writing. And they have various styles of how they organize their books or how they present their cliffhangers and things of that nature. So it's always good to read all different types of authors. And then you can get an idea of what other kind of books you may want to read. You know, sometimes people say, oh, I just like, you know, I like the street lit and, you know, and I kind of like this, but you never know. You might like mystery. You might like a twist. But you got to be able to be open to those things.
Exactly. Exactly. And by them going up against each other, you know, it brings out something in each author that may not have been brought out before, because that challenge is on the table. That you know, that gauntlet has been thrown. So you may get something that you may not even expect to get from an author that you're familiar with. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. That's very true. But, and you will never know until you try. Or, you know, until you try it out.
And read it to the last page and be open-minded with both authors. You know, even though we are Team Cash, we are avid readers and we are fair, and we have to give them both a fair shot.
Absolutely. I know. I'm like the hardest person when it comes to reading. I only read, you know, I read certain authors for a reason. I like many authors, but I can only read certain authors for a reason. But I just want to tell everybody, Aaron B-Boy ain't no slouch with his pen. He knows how to write. And I don't think Cash wouldn't have went up against him. They would not have organized this 10 off if Cash didn't think that Aaron's pen could stand up. You know, Aaron's pen is really good. If you haven't read any of his books, you might want to get them. Bunches of Love, that was actually another great book of his that I have read and I enjoyed. Toni Redd, I Used to Love Her. So if you guys have not gotten an Aaron Bebo book, we suggest that you just be open, hit Amazon and hit those one clicks, and just see what he has to offer.
Mhm. And speaking of Bunches of Love, you know, Bunches made a cameo appearance in I Used to Love Her, so I definitely have that in my Kindle, but I haven't had a chance to read her, but that little snippet with her has my interest piqued, so I have to open up that book also. But regarding our great authors this evening, Miss Cheyenne, you know, I was introduced to her when I read Leo's, I think it was Billionaire's Thief, Part 2. She co-wrote that with him. So that was my introduction to her. And I do believe I have her Bacardi, but I haven't had a chance to read it like you. You don't have that luxury of reading sometimes as much as you want to.
But I have Bacardi, too. I started it, but I had to stop because I, you know, trying. I have to read around working. So I have to read around you know, work for the show or work for Nene Capri, so I read in between. But I started
my reading takes place as I commute back and forth to work, so that's one luxury when I sit on that long train ride into the city. But, you know, you got to get it in when it, where it fits. So I'm really excited to get to know her a little bit better this evening, and I hope our listeners are as well. You know, so that's something to look forward to.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, maybe we should get a little house cleaning out of the way.
Okay. I would do that. Like we've mentioned before, Miss Nene Capri, she has quite a few hot releases out there. And if you haven't heard of Nene Capri, just go to Amazon and click or type in the P-Trap series. I'm all tongue-tied. I don't know what's going on. I'm a little excited here. But the P-Trap series, part 1, 2, and 3. And if you have read those, you may want to reread at least part 3 because part 4 will be dropping soon. And she's been leading up to it, so be on the lookout for that. And she also has the Trust No Beast series, 1, 2, and 3. And she shares that with the aforementioned Cash Streetlit author. You will not be disappointed. She has under G Street Chronicles, who is taking over this industry. She has that hot release, Tainted, Lies, Fear, and Death. If you haven't gotten that, you've got to get Tainted, because if you're not Tainted, you are missing out. And part 2 of that is on its way as well. So please be on the lookout for that. And as Leisha and I have said, our co-host has a few hot releases of his own. Cupid's Assassin, Bunches of Love, which is Cupid's Assassin Part 2, which we mentioned earlier. And it's the one that I just gave a little review on, I Used to Love Her. You've got to get that. That's also under G Street Chronicles, who is taking over. So pick those up. And again, if you haven't picked up his Till My Casket Drops, please do so, so you can give him a fair shot at this historic competition. Do you want to ask that, Miss Leisha?
Yes, ma'am, I do. If you guys have not hit that one click on Wahida Clark's final installment of the Payback series, Blood, Sweat, and Payback, you guys need to hit that one click on the back of that book. There is two versions of the final installment of the Thug series. And what will happen is you'll read both versions. You'll send a text picking the version that you want her to start with. So when I first got the book, I pre-ordered it back in, like, February. But when I got it, the first thing I did was scroll to the back of the book so I could read the two versions of the Thug series to see how the book was going to start. I'm super excited. I love the Thug series. I love the Macklins, and I love what is their last name?
You have a character.
I'm having character block. I really am. But everybody has, most people have read the Thug series, and it's on the back. And I have started that book, and I'm like, dang, maybe I should have read the third book before I opened up the fourth book, because now I'm like, I need to go back to the third book, because there's some stuff popping off in this final installment of the Payback series that I'm like, oh, man, it is going down, y'all. I'm telling y'all, get that one click going.
Mm-hmm.
Santos. That's their last name, Santos.
There it is.
I know.
You have so much going on. You know, it's understandable. They all start to mesh after a while.
Don't they?
Mixing
books, crossing them up. Like, oh, no, that wasn't that book. That was such a book. Yes, all the time.
Starting to create a whole new story of your own.
Absolutely. But I do see our first guest in the queue. Do you want to read her bio, T?
Sure. We have Cheyenna, who's joining us this evening. She is a mother of two that enjoys the passion of writing and being versatile with her writing, going beyond just one genre. Cheyenna was born in Jackson, Mississippi, and now resides in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. with her two beautiful girls. Cheyenne's passion for writing started when she was a child, using writing as a way to escape the horror she grew up around. With abuse in her household, reading and writing was her only way out. Growing up as a troubled teenager, she never knew she had it into the right books until one day she finished her very first book and received great feedback from family, friends, and teachers. Cheyenne first published back in 2011, coming out under the name Leisha Jones. But after searching and wanting to venture out, she spread her wings and reinvented herself, and her writing became Cheyenne, an Indian writer. She released a few titles such as Tari's Boy Toy, Sammy Says, V, and a few more. After 2 years of doing it on her own, she felt overwhelmed and decided it would be best to publish in family. That's when she signed with Leo Sullivan and republished a few of her old titles under Sullivan's company. Now she's an author and an assistant, working hand-in-hand with other authors in the background, but she still enjoys the love of writing. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome in Cheyenne.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I am good. I am so good. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. We are so excited to have you this evening. We had a little brief introduction to you a little while back when Leo was on the show. So we get to have you all to ourselves this evening.
Yes. Y'all get to steal me away.
That's a great day. Nah. Like I said, Leisha and I are so honored to have you joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me.
I just have one question.
I have
started Bacardi. I didn't read the one before that. I didn't know it was like part of an installment.
Yes,
now, he gonna last through the book. I just started, but I like his character. I like how you wrote him. He's really real, and I don't know. He might just be like a filler character, but I like him. You make him stand out.
Yeah, he's more of a role model to Bacardi. He's the one who teaches him and schools him on when he's locked up, when Bacardi is locked up in prison. He's the one who role model him, telling him how to survive. But I basically have him on at the, you got to read the book. I'm just thinking about that. But
that's
I basically
funny.
Have him on. I have him on as one of the little character side characters. But as you keep reading it, you would notice that Rodu comes back to Bacardi's mind when it comes to dealing with issues. But, yeah.
Mm. All right.
See, she won't give me no extra little snippets here.
See, you want a little inside info there?
Yeah,
right,
you want the inside.
This character. I hope you don't buy her nothing towards the end. I think I'm going to have to ask her.
No, but put it this way. No, he doesn't die. So there you go. You got your answer. But he is more of a role model.
He needs his own book.
Everyone is right here on Author Spotlight. He does not die. Yay.
But he needs his own book.
Yeah, Ro, he reminds me of a friend of mine, an older friend of mine that I grew up with. So I based his character around a friend of mine that basically tried to preach to all the little young boys, telling them to stop doing this, stop doing that. But instead, I flipped it around to basically do this, do that, do that in the drug business type way. You see what I mean?
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I try to base characters on real, so-called, you know, a little bit about real people I know.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'm enjoying it so far. I'm glad I found out he wasn't going to die. I've been like, oh, no. I've been prepared.
You got to bring yourself in case, because you never know.
I had to think about it when you said Roe, because I write so many books. I had to think about it. Like, wait a minute, who is Roe? I remember.
I can imagine. But, Cheyenne, I read your book with Leo. I think I told you last time, the Billionaire Thief Part 2.
Yeah.
Now, like I told Leo, I went into reading the first part based on my experience with his previous writings, and it was totally a left turn from what I'm used to reading by Leo Sullivan, for those that don't know. And he said he wanted to venture into that. Now, you had no info for part one, am I right?
No, I had to read part one so I can help co-write part two. So I did have to read part one and make my little notes and figure out where else me and him go take these characters to. But I didn't write part one.
Did you have any inkling that you would be working with him on part two at that time?
Oh, no, I didn't read it until he asked for me to work with him for part two. So I never read it until then. And I liked it. I liked the writing. It is something different. It's not that street, urban type things that most of the urban readers want to read. So it is different.
Right, it was.
At the same time, you know, you got to try to open. As being a versatile writer, you want to open yourself up to more to write. That's not just the street hood stuff all the time.
Well, it was interesting. You know, it just took a minute for me to realize it wasn't what I was used to reading by Leo, but like I told him, I did enjoy it. And I can tell the difference between part one and part two if you really pay attention to it. There was like little subtleties there. If you were paying attention to it, you would have found it. I felt that part two, it had, I don't want to say a softer feel, but it had you could tell a female's hand was in it, if you know what I mean.
Okay, yeah. And some people try to figure out who wrote what, but the thing is, you can figure out a little bit, but me and Leo wrote on top of each other. You know what I mean? So it was, sometimes when I did go back to reading, I forget who wrote what too, so I'm not going to lie and say I
It's true, you can't tell who wrote what, but you know it's something there, you know? And
yeah,
I just couldn't figure it out, but I knew it was something there. I couldn't tell who wrote what.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty of being co-writers, I guess. You agree or no?
Yeah, I agree. It makes it difficult for the readers to figure out who is who wrote what. But at the same time, you know, the writers try to work with each other. And if you can't work with each other, it's like, what's the purpose of writing a book? And I liked it. I enjoyed writing. It was a little bit unique with writing. And then I had to do a lot of research for overseas because they overseas also. So I had to do a lot of research for that book. And it's a more of an interracial type relation. There's a lot of sex in here. So people don't know it's erotic. It's erotic.
And that's what I was going to ask you also. And is it different writing for a different race? Because the lead character is not a black woman. It's a white woman.
No, it's a white woman. It was a little difficult, but a lot of people don't. I do a lot of research. For that book, I did a lot of watching a little porn here and there. You know, that's basically, I needed a little, because it is different writing for a black woman's character and a white, you know, a Caucasian character.
Yes.
So it was a little bit different, but she was a freak. So that's basically,
yes, she was.
It wasn't hard. She just got turned on just by walking in the room. So that I didn't have problem with it.
But Cheyenne, watch out, 50 Shade. I know. Earlier I said I read commuting back and forth to work, and some of those parts I had to look on the side to see who may have been looking over my shoulder. Oh, wow. I had to put it up close so I could just, like, you know, I don't want somebody looking at me side eye.
Yeah.
That's how hot it is.
Yeah, some of the parts will catch you off guard. You can be reading something, it'd be all like, it'd be action and a shootout. Next thing you know, Lisa, you're like, wait a minute. But yeah, I liked it writing it. It was very different.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't do too good in the sales, but you know there are some people that enjoy reading erotic stuff.
Mm-hmm. But see, if you enjoy your author, you would grow as he grows.
You know,
Leisha and I have spoken about that before. If you have an author that you enjoy their writing, you want that author to grow. You want that author to venture out.
Mm-hmm.
And as they do, so do you. You agree, Leisha?
Yeah, I agree.
I absolutely agree.
I would love, I like reading a lot of things. I'm very versatile when it comes to different books and, as a writer, too, so. I agree with that, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of the things
I have a question for you. Huh?
I'm sorry, Ms. Tony. I just had a question for her. Go ahead, finish.
No, I was just saying that's something that you and I are always speaking. As our authors grow, so do we.
That's true. I think Cash always says your first 30 reviews are your diehard viewers or readers. They will, that mm-hmm. don't matter. You can write a paper bag. They like, ooh, that paper bag was the best paper bag I read in a long time. It don't matter what you write. They just going to love it.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But I have a question for you, Shane. How did you become Leo's assistant? Because you are also Leo Sullivan's assistant as well.
Yeah. Yes. I wasn't the author, but I know a lot when it comes to the system, basically, when it comes to handling a lot of the business in the background, formatting books, making sure everything is A-okay with all the author's books being sent to editors, and, just all those little things. And the company, Leo's company is doing good. It's just that it was a lot of the assistant issues that was being a little bit not going well. So I put my hand in and offered Leo my help at the same time. So he winged me in, and I'm doing a little here, a little there, to the point that, I started doing a lot more because, I was okay with doing it. I have no problem doing it at all.
Okay, seems like you got a little publisher in you. Do we see a publishing house coming down your way?
That's what I was doing before I met with Leo. A lot of my books I have published myself, and it was very hard. And I was publishing my own books, paperback. I was traveling. I was doing a lot of that stuff by myself. It was just so hard trying to be a mother, working full-time, and trying to run my own by myself was very difficult. So that's where I clicked up with Leo about me re-signing my books with him. And then all I had to do was just sit back and just, not too much worry so much. I could just write and, promote as much as I could without having to worry, trying to promote my books and worry about my sales or trying to get more readers. It was very difficult, especially as a mother, too. And I was working for you. It was very difficult. So when I hit up to Leo, I was just his author for a while. That was it.
Uh-huh.
But then it pushed towards me becoming also his assistant.
Uh-huh.
So I have no problem working as the assistant. I love working with Leo. He's real, real cool, laid back, down to earth. I have no problem with it. I don't know, I'm very critique when it comes to things. But how I feel for you, for assistant needs to know the business, a little bit more about the business. A lot of these authors, they want to make sure their book is up on Amazon right. Done the right way. You don't have to keep pulling it down and putting it back up and pulling it down. They want to make sure their books are done paperback, done correctly. And I feel that for you got to have the passion for it for you to even be able to do stuff like that. So I try to look out for the best interest of the authors on the company.
And by you having your hand in different aspects of the company, it just makes your own personal work that much stronger.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, that's a good thing. It's always sometimes they say the more you know, the more you have to be responsible for. But sometimes it works in your favor.
Yeah.
You know?
It does. Yeah. either. But my readers are getting on, they get mad at me because I haven't released a book in a minute, but they get mad at me. But
does that mean you have something on the horizon? You're going to give us another sneak peek?
No, I'm still writing. I just haven't, like, before I wrote a lot. I mean, I wrote all the time. I was pushing out books, like, almost every other month. It's just that it's much harder. It's much harder at this moment. And I am working on a couple of books. It's just I do have to complete them. That's the thing.
Uh-huh.
Actually completing them. But I do want to keep writing. I'm not going to not write. Uh-huh. And I love writing.
So. Now, since you are with Leo and you're not doing it all on your own, you don't have as much to balance. Is it that much easier to do the writing that you love because you don't have to do every single thing as before you joined Leo?
Yeah, it's much. I don't have to. It is much easier this way. That's why. Mm-hmm. That's why I wanted to find a publishing home that I can feel not too overwhelmed. And at the same time, by having a good relationship with your publisher is good. You know, I'm able to not have to, you know, rush a lot of things at the same time when it comes to my writing. Because if you don't have no good relationship with your publisher, it gets to the point that a lot of people, the talking back and forth get mixed up. And I'm still on a contract with Leo, so no matter what, I'm still going to complete my book. It's just that I'm not in a great list of a rush. I'm not, you know, a completer. Because I still have a lot more to do.
Well, that's just less stress you have to really be worried about. You know, you have the luxury of doing it when you can and how you really want it to be. And because you have so much with your baby girls and everything, and that being a mom in and of itself is a big job.
Yes. They don't just waiting for me to cook right now, but
I know how that is, don't I, Leisha?
Yes. See, there's one thing you don't know. See, not only do I call her undercover pen, because, you know, Tony she has a nice little pen that she be trying to hide. You know how you see those type of people that got a nice shape, but they got all them 50 million layers of clothes on?
Yeah,
that's her.
Trying to hide.
Lucy, you give it
you
that
show that off. You got to show that off. Let us know what you got.
Well, see, Lucy's had a little firsthand of some of my words thrown together on the page. But it is fun. It's just something I enjoy. I enjoy reading and I do enjoy writing, so they work hand in hand.
I'm a big time reader, so that's where it led to me trying to, you know, write my own. I never thought that it can get this far, but you know, with a lot of people reading my work and cheering me on, I'm like, okay, let's see where this can go. So, I've always was told before that I was too descriptive. I've heard that too many times, or I heard that I was, or when I do not be descriptive, I heard that I was less descriptive, and I tend to write a lot as an urban mystery writer, which is very difficult to sell.
Okay.
So that's,
that's a hard field to break into.
Yeah. My Sammy says, and my V is the V book is more of an urban mystery type book, but it is harder to sell those. So for me to do in my Gravito book, for me to do a spinoff of V, I went straight urban. That's that Bacardi book. So it is very difficult. So, Sam,
do you have any upcoming projects or tours or anything coming on the horizon, either coming out of Leo's camp, your own camp?
I can't say for sure about my books. I know I'm trying to do Gravito 2 and Bacardi, the last part of Bacardi. Other than that, I mostly do, like, the festivals here in my city. But I haven't really done a lot of more traveling outside of my city in a while, in a okay. very while. So I've been doing mostly, like, what's her name? I think she does Urban Review. She does the little reviews here, the little festivals here. I try to attend all the festivals I can in the Midwest area. And then I have a lot of my own paperback, so I go to a lot of the festivals throughout Wisconsin and Illinois as much as I can. So I sell them like that. Yeah, so paperback's my deal. You just got to know where to get them, get the people for us.
No, paperbacks are definitely not dead.
No, yeah, I sell plenty of paperbacks all the time. But you just got to find the readers. Find them, they buy them.
You know, they, you still have your paperback lovers out there. And sometimes when I'm at the hair salon, you know, you can see women sitting under the dryer, love them reading their paperbacks. So paperbacks are still much alive.
Yeah. I go to the nail salon, take my own book in there, and let people watch me looking at it, like, where did you get that book? I start pulling out my own books out to my purse, like, this is mine. So that's how you not sell my own book by them thinking I'm reading my own book. So that's what you got to do.
Hey, if it works.
Yeah. That's what you got to do.
That's right. Do you want to let everyone know how they're able to reach you and follow you?
I'm on Facebook as Writer Shyana. I don't do Twitter as much as I used to. You can find me on Amazon up under Shyana, S-H-I-A-N-A. Books in paperback and on Kindle. And Instagram, I think it's Writer Shyana also. I'm not sure. But, yeah, those are where you can find me at.
That's a good thing. I know I'm one of your followers, and you know, Lisa's been trying to teach me how to tweet, but I haven't.
I'm working with her. We gonna have to get her an Instagram and all that. I'm working with her.
Yeah, I have my little tweet. I don't know. I'm not too much of. Mine used to connect to my Facebook page, but I noticed it was filling it up, so I just stopped doing it.
Well, that's a good thing when it's filling up. So, Shyana, Alicia, and I definitely want to thank you so much for joining us this evening. It has been a pleasure getting to know you and speak with you.
Thank you for asking me to be on. I enjoy talking to you all. If you want to have me on any other time, just hit me up. I'll be here. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You have a great evening. Can't wait for you to come back. Have a great evening.
You too. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. That was fun, Lisha, getting to know Shyana a little better.
That was fun. She is actually, you know, like, more than an author. You know how I like to talk to the authors because you get to see all the different sides of them, and it was just interesting how many different sides you saw. It was really interesting and fun to talk with her.
It is, and I'm really excited. You know, our next author was one of my choices. And speaking of Shield in my Kindle, as I read, I did that this evening on my way home. So we have the great Shakira Sean coming up. Am I reading his bio, or you want to do the honors, girl?
I can read his bio, not a problem. And then we're going to run our commercial, and then we'll come back with author Shakira. So author Shakira Rashan currently lives in suburban Atlanta with his wife and two children. Rashan's catalog includes the series Chronicles of Nubian World Underworld and the upcoming Kink, P.I., an upcoming project being developed under the pen name of Curtis Alexander Hamilton. I love the name Alexander, y'all. Other credits include several anthologies, including best-selling Same presents Z-rated Chocolate Flavor 3. Whoa. Okay. Well, Tony, kick that commercial, and we'll be on with author Shakira next.
Okay.
It's the one and only the boss lady, Nene Capri. I hail all the way from North New Jersey. I'm the author of the Pussy Trap series, Trust No Bitch series, and my latest book under G Street Chronicles, Tainted Lies, Fear, and Death. You can holler at me at NeneCapri.com. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as Nene Capri. I'm coming to a library near you. Trapping.
That's the one and only. Are we ready to bring him in?
Yes, ma'am.
Welcome, Arthur Shakir. How are you this evening?
I'm doing quite well, ladies. How are you?
Good, good. I'm excited. I'm glad you were able to share your time and work with us.
No, not a problem. My pleasure.
Well, it is a pleasure having you on, as we've said, and it's been getting to know you a little bit better.
Not a problem. Whatever questions come to mind, just let them fly.
Now, first, like I was telling Cheyenne and Alicia, you know, I read during my commute back and forth to work, and I was reading part of The Awakening this evening, and I actually, again, had to do a side eye to see who may have been reading over my shoulder. Because that book has some pretty hot, has some pretty hot and detailed writing there.
Well, I do appreciate that. I did try to make it as vivid as possible.
Oh, it was quite vivid. It's like you're right there in the room with your leading characters.
Oh my!
Good deal.
Oh yes, you gotta get his books in your library, girl. Now, Shakir, would you like to give us a little bit? You want to take it right now?
Writing that down right now.
I think this may be my third or fourth book that I'm reading by Shakir. So I may be a quiet fan, but I am a fan of yours.
Oh, no worries. I understand how it is with a lot of my fans. You know, some of them like to be out and don't mind, and then there's some that are behind the scenes that are kind of hitting me up on a private message. It's like, you know, I am here. I'm like, okay, cool, no problem. I ain't saying that until you. We good with it, no problem.
And this is Tony. I know you may have seen my name maybe once or twice, but what really made you special to me was when you sent me a birthday shout-out. That really made me feel really good, so I really want to thank you in person for that right now.
No, you're quite welcome, absolutely. I try to pay attention to the ones that I am connected with, and I've had some time to at least have some interactions with as far as that is, so when it does pop up, I do try to at least personalize as much as I can.
Well, it's truly appreciated, don't forget that. But let us know just a little bit about your writing and what, you know, put you into writing this type of genre, if you want to say.
No worries. I actually independently published The Awakening back in 2009. And I chose that genre because it was popular back then, although it was more over on a crossover mix, so to speak. There were a lot of my contemporaries that are Caucasian that have had a lot of success even before the 50 Shades phenomenon picked up. And I felt that I could at least throw a little color into the mix because the majority of their books only had Caucasian characters. Every so often you might see an interracial mix here and there, that type of thing. So I felt that throwing a book out there where the elite characters were not only a couple, but both were African American.
Uh-huh. But it's true that you don't It's true that you don't see that many African, you know, American characters in those roles. So that's another new quality that I'm not quite used to.
Well, the thing is that because we lead that lifestyle, you know, on a real time basis, you know, I've got several friends in a lot of different communities, both in the country and out, and in different countries as well. It helped me a lot in terms of being able to get the word out back then when I was independently publishing, because it was just a matter of just dropping it into the specific BDSM community and let them know, hey, it's out there, go ahead and get it, that type of thing. And, you know, it worked like clockwork for all intents and purposes. I managed to develop a pretty big following in New York, in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, definitely out in California. I've got a lot of close friends out in Southern Cal that really were instrumental in pushing me in terms of just book sales, just word of mouth campaigning, the whole nine yards. So when we got ready to start doing the rest of the series, it was just a matter of just we were going to go ahead and continue to independently publish it. But then Zane popped up out of the blue, and I guess you could call it the rest is recent history at this point. Once I got in with Z-Rated and I had her attention, it was easy to just go ahead and make the pitch. She liked it, and the rest is, like I said, the rest, as they say, is history. The Awakening is out now. The next two books are going to be published, or should be coming out. One is in June next month. Well, not next month, because this is still April. But it'll be out in June, and then the third book in the series will be out in December. I'm currently putting the next four books in the series together as we're speaking, so that I can go ahead and have Strebor take care of that, take care of those books as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to back up just a bit and ask, what was your initiation into what you write about? Had you been living that lifestyle and decided to write, or did it go hand in hand? How did that come about?
Well, we've been personally, I've been in it since the mid-90s. As far as a real time, you know, as far as a real time participation and activity is concerned, as far as my wife and I, we probably have been in it probably the last 14-15 years out of that 20. So It's literally a part of us. There's no way, shape, or form that you can really, with the detail that I put inside the series, and all the various kinks that we've developed and brought to the spotlight, so to speak, it's not enough research out there to be able to come with the same detail that I was able to bring to that particular series. The way that I look at it at this point is that, you know, even with the ones that I consider, you know, very close contemporaries that are on the other side of the fence doing their thing, they're just as detailed, they're just as intense, and, you know, I've been able to learn a lot from them in terms of just being able to sharpen up the vividness of my writing, being able to really kind of get everyone's senses as heightened as humanly possible, not just one or two, but to try and get all five as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. That kind of leads us to my other question. I was going to ask you, do the lines ever get blurred between fiction and reality?
The lines do get blurred. I'm not going to lie to you there. What I tell people inside of the disclaimer I put inside of The Awakening was that this is somewhat a work of fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I put the word somewhat in there is because I did use real-time scenarios. Although they're not current, I did use them in terms of developing the storyline. I did the same thing with Legacy. I did the same thing with Tempest. And I'll be doing the same thing with a variety of different books that will be coming out from me in the next year or two.
Uh-huh.
It helps. I've learned that putting some reality into the situation, it helps people. It helps people escape, but they also have an anchor to kind of get back into. You know, there are some things that if you really engage them real time, you know, there can be consequences if you're not careful.
That's so true, so true. Now, you said that a little bit of your book is fiction, and some of it is reality, so you kind of smush it together. Do you ever at times have writer's block where you find it hard to put certain things together?
No. The way that I have always combated writer's block has always been a matter of outlining my books. I literally put in like a real short detailed chapter outline together to to kind of give me my own roadmap as to how I want everything to flow. So even if I kind of color outside the lines, if you want to say, I can always go back to my outline to find out where I need to come back to be able to further the storyline along. But the beauty of the way that I've been able to, and I've been blessed in that regard, is that there are certain writers that always say that they kind of see their books as movies in their head. I've been blessed in being able to see that. All I have to do is just really just kind of close my eyes, you know, sit down a little bit and just watch everything transpire around me. And then by the time I get a chance to open my eyes and actually put pen to paper to get the major plot points down, everything else just works out beautifully.
That's a great thing.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely. Now, I want to go back just a little bit. Tell us how you got signed to Zane. How did that come about? What was going on at that time that made you want to submit to her publishing company?
I originally submitted a short story back in 2011 for a Chocolate Flavor series. And it was Chocolate Flavor 3 at the time. And I submitted the short story that I had in that particular anthology probably in March of that year. And I think we ended up waiting collectively. We all had to wait about, give or take, about 9 months before she was able to really get the word out as to who was accepted into CF3 or not. So probably around mid-December is when I found out I was a part of the project. And by the time we got into 2012, it was getting to know a lot of the authors that were already under her imprint, kind of picking their brain a little bit to figure out if Strayboy was going to be a good fit for me. And the one thing they all were in agreement with was that Zane does not allow anyone at Simon & Schuster to water down her material, she doesn't allow us to water down ours either.
Oh, okay.
So at that point, considering the type of material that I put out, it felt like that was the right move for me to make based on the material that I put out. And I waited until November, December of 2012 before I started putting the package together in terms of getting the Chronicle series up and ready to go for her to take a look at. So between her and Charmaine, who is the publishing director over at Strayboy, I submitted it in, I think it was January the following year, which was going into 2013. By the time we hit mid-February, late February, they had let me know that they wanted the series and that they wanted me to go ahead and start getting ready to pitch at that point. The thing that really caught me off guard, and there was a couple other people that were quite surprised as well, I signed with Strayboy in March. The Awakening came out in December. To their recollection, they hadn't seen a turnover that quick in quite a while, because I really had expected to start publishing and pushing The Awakening sometime around now, as opposed to 3-4 months ago. And at that point, I was really just to the point where I was like, okay, yeah, I might have to wait, you know, because they were like, okay, once you get signed, you normally have to wait about 6 months to a year before you even start thinking about submitting the manuscript and, you know, getting it developed and getting ready for the covers and all that other bit. No. Everything went in lightning quick speed with this particular series.
I remember the build-up. You know, like I said, I'm a silent follower. But I do remember the build-up and the anticipation and the final drop of the first one. You know, and you gave us some little tweets in between, like The Stranger and Rise of the Pharaoh, which were really, really good. I really enjoyed those. But
well,
I do remember the build-up, and it was like that anticipation of it finally dropping.
Yeah. And I'm planning on, if everything goes according to plan, I'm planning on doing the same thing when we get ready to start getting ready for Tempest as well. I'm trying to go ahead and finish up a few short stories on the back end as well for that particular build up as far as Tempest is concerned. With Legacy, not so much because I got caught up in trying to promote The Awakening that I didn't have time to really shut down, ramp up again, and get ready for what I had originally done with The Awakening. It was probably because I had too much time on my hands between March and December of last year. You know, now the window is much smaller because once we hit December, it was like all systems go and we were rolling and then some. And now that we're hitting April, it's like, okay, cool, we can sit down and chill out. And I'm like, no, I can't because the book's coming in 6 weeks. Now what? So, yeah, in that regard, I won't say I dropped the ball, but it was just to the point where I felt like there was a different way that I could promote Legacy, which I'm in the midst of getting ready to do now anyway.
Okay. Do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about this series? And one quick question, which character most resembles you?
That was pretty easy.
I have my own opinion, but I want to hear it from the author's mouth.
Oh, fair enough. I'll put it this way. I've got different personalities that are inside of the same book. The one that I say would probably most resemble would be the lead character himself, as far as Ramses is concerned. Ramses has a lot of my characteristics. He's got the same ego. His is probably bigger than mine, but not by much. I'll promise you that much. And a lot of his demeanor is very controlled, very measured. I tend to be the same way in business and pleasure, because to try and do anything off the handle, too many things can go wrong. So you try to plan out as best you can, but of course you still have the ability to freestyle whenever you feel like it.
Okay. Now, do you want to give them a little, without giving the books away, I hope I haven't given up too much.
Oh, no, not at all.
what they're about. Because it's really interesting. I'm really enjoying it, you know, and it's like you're looking into a different world.
And that was literally the point. When we first conceived the series, I went back through the Matrix trilogy, and I saw a lot of different parallels that I could draw from that particular trilogy to my own series. And if you recall, if you remember, I think maybe about a month or so ago, I actually started playing up the red and blue pill scene that Morpheus and Neo were in. I had people, it was difficult for people to kind of make the connection until they actually realized which movie I was referring to, and then that particular scene. The same thing happens with whether it's the real time or whether it's fiction. You make up your mind whether or not you want to go into this world. Not everybody is willing to do it. Not everyone is built for it. But, you know, when you've made up your mind, you know, you go ahead and dig in and see what's going on. And with this particular series, I gave people the window that they could see at least a part of what the scene could be like, what that community could be like, and, you know, make up their own mind in terms of, okay, maybe this is something that's not as scary as I originally thought it was. I've had so many emails that have spoken to that exact fact. They thought that it was a scary thing, that it was always about pain, that it was, you know, the list goes on and on as far as a lot of the different myths that I was able to break and shatter with the first book alone. I can only imagine what's going to happen with the next two. But the series itself is really just I won't even say a figment of my imagination. It's literally just whatever comes into my head, whatever theory, whatever storyline that I can kind of put together to kind of give people as much of a full picture as possible. That's what I ended up doing with these particular installments. I didn't want to put it all in one book because if I tried to do that, the book would never be finished.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Lisa, you had a question before I full of questions with you tonight.
I was gonna say, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna sit back and let her. No, I did have a question because in your bio it said that you had some upcoming projects that you were developing under a pen name of Curtis Alexander Hamilton. Tell us a little bit about those books and what genre they're going to be.
Curtis is actually my ability to stretch out into other genres. What I originally wanted to do with him was literally whatever I decided I wanted to do as far as whatever genre that caught my attention. I use him as that outlet. Shakir is pure erotica. Even my mystery series, as far as Kink P.I. is concerned, they have the same erotic elements that the Nubian Underworld series will have, the Nubian Underworld series has. So he's entrenched inside of the erotica genre, period. It's very difficult for me to go into any other genres without it tracking back to, oh, God, he's an erotica author. What am I going to get myself into? You know how readers are. They can be a little nitpicky when it comes to the type of authors that they encounter for the most part. You see what you get, but if you start branching out a little bit, fair or unfair, you kind of deal with that scrutiny for the most part. So with Curtis, I literally just wanted to go ahead and get him out there in his own right. Still tracks back to Shakir, but it's not necessarily where, oh my God, what's really going on as far as Shakir trying to get into young adult. That's not the brightest idea on the planet to do, but with Curtis, I can do that. So that being said, Curtis is pretty much running with a lot of, his is going to be more of a romance, paranormal, and I think I've got a couple of paranormal YA projects that I'm working on with my agent as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So I got a fun question for you, okay? So
okay.
You ready?
Go ahead.
Okay, so you are going to do, we'll say, a collaboration, okay? And you get to pick your team. So you get to authors that you want to collab with for any genre that you like, okay?
Okay.
Now, who would it be, why, and what genre book would it be?
Yeah, that is fun. Let's see. Dead or alive, okay. The genre that I would really be curious about doing that I've really not had a chance to really jump into per se is really more along the lines of a full-fledged LGBT type of book that deals in male-on-male as far as that type of relationship is concerned. Elin Harris is the top of my list when it comes to that. Because he was able to, with his series, really dispel a lot of the myths within that community in terms of, you know, how everybody interacts with each other, how they handle relationships, the whole nine yards. As far as a larger project to collaborate with, to have a collaboration with James Patterson, Eric Jerome Dickey, and I'm thinking of one other. I can't think of it right now. If I really want to be ambitious, I'd say Stephen King, but that's really overreaching, mainly because I'm such a big fan of all three gentlemen, and I'd throw John Grisham in there as well.
Oh, wow.
What does it say? If you're going to go big. And I can't go any bigger than those four.
Mm-hmm. New York Times bestseller all the way. You ready?
Oh, yeah. I mean, EJD has had a very, and he knows this because I've said it every time that I've run into him in book signings that he's had personally and different things along those lines. he's had an indirect influence on my prose in terms of being able to not necessarily break the thesaurus, if you want to say, but to give to keep the writing as probably as fresh as it can be at that point. And then being able to use those words and package them together in such a way that, as opposed to just going and using the easiest words on the planet, you can kind of use other words and people still get what you're saying.
Absolutely. Oh, wow.
And all four of those authors would bring something totally different to the table when you match up with them. No, I'm familiar with all of that work. So that would be pretty.
I mean, because with John Grisham, it's easy because a lot of what his books are a lot law and legal and procedural and things of that nature. My TPI series is heavy on that, even though there are erotic elements to the story. Because my background is in law enforcement and in criminal justice, I can easily put the criminal procedural stuff in the back on within the storyline as well, and make it interesting enough for the reader to go ahead and go through.
Mm-hmm. And see, I can relate to his also because I work in a legal realm and a legal firm, and it kind of like it's like you're reading what you're working with every day.
Right.
So that gives it a little bit more of a personal touch, a little bit more understanding also. And also you can understand more things that you may not be totally familiar with, in a certain department, so to say.
Absolutely. That definitely does.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, I have a question. Oh, go ahead, Tony. Okay. I know you ready.
I have been really looking forward to Shakir being on the show for a while, as you know. But if you weren't writing here, what would you be doing? If you weren't an author.
If I weren't, I think I'd probably be in somebody's courtroom had I done what I was supposed to do the first time around. My mother was almost convinced that I would be somewhere in someone's courtroom, either arguing for or against. It just depends. Growing up, it was easy to debate, easy to engage debate. That's basically home for me. So I would say probably an attorney.
Okay. That's interesting. Okay, Alicia, I'm going to let you in now.
That's okay. I know you was ready. Now, I have a question. Shakir, do you all this writing? I mean, you have a full plate. So I'm not trying to add anything on your plate. I'm just saying, have you ever thought about taking the publishing route and becoming a publisher?
I won't say never say never. We actually did at one time go the independent route in terms of publishing under authors. We did that for about a couple years, and then the grind got a little bit too deep for us because it was taken away from home and work. So we kind of stepped away from that for the most part. I can't say that it won't happen in the future, but that's really along the lines of I want to be able to establish myself first before I can actually establish other folks. It doesn't make any sense if nobody's heard of me and then I'm putting somebody else behind me.
Absolutely. I understand that. Now I want to go back to Shakir in the, we'll say, eighth grade. What type of books and activities were you into at that time?
At what stage you said, I'm sorry?
Eighth grade. When you were
eighth
in
grade?
Eighth grade, what type of books and activities were you into?
I was knee-deep in basketball, sports anthologies, sports biographies and autobiographies. Basically horror and mystery books. I think the R.L. Stine series was big time back then. And actually to date myself a little bit, the Sweet Valley High series.
Ooh, I read that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was actually one of the few young men that actually read that series, and stayed with it for the most part. It was intriguing to me because it was being in an inner city school. I didn't understand how the other half lived. So Sweet Valley High kind of helped me understand how those folks think and act and interact with each other. And things along those lines. I didn't necessarily, play it as gospel per se, but it kind of gave me more of an introduction as far as dealing with the Caucasian community and things along those lines. And it actually helped me a lot when I actually ended up going to a predominantly white school as far as the University of Tennessee is concerned.
Oh, wow. And it's funny you said that because I love the Sweet Valley High series. I used to read the Hardy Boy and Nancy Drew. But when I was coming up, they had put Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew on TV. So they had like that mini series I used to love to watch. But it's funny you said that because my son goes to a predominantly white school. And a lot of things in the inner city for him is just kind of like, a cloud, like, oh, well, because it's not part of his world. So I do, I try to get him to read certain books, and he's like, well, they're only talking about sad stuff, but he loves James Patterson. He has this book series for the kids, and it's called Middle School.
Yeah, the Middle School series
here.
That he has, yes, I remember
yes,
it well.
And he's like, Mom, can you buy the new one? And I'm like, well, did you read the other one? But he loves that series. And his fascination with James Patterson is the fact that he is so old, but he can write a book that somebody so young can relate to. And that's his biggest fascination with James Patterson is that he can write a book that a 12-year-old can relate to and say, oh, wow.
That's the reason why I said it would be intriguing to be able to collaborate with him because I could pick his brain pretty much for months on end in terms of how he was able to make that transition.
Definitely. Go ahead, Ms. Tony. I know you got like 65 more questions.
No, I'm not going to talk your kid's ear off. You're doing good. I'm going to let you in.
Oh, wow. Go ahead, Tony. It's okay. I don't mind. We bought him. I asked him. We were talking about this when we were on Honeybee's page here, and I asked him to come on because I said that my co-host, I have not read any of his books, but my co-host says that they are on point. Remember when we were talking about that on Facebook a couple weeks ago?
Yes, indeed. I recall it very well.
Yeah, so I asked him because I knew that you had questions. See? I'm such a good co-host.
Well, by all means, if you've heard half of the interviews that I've dealt with in the last year or so, they don't pull no punches, so this ain't no different. So by all means, do what you do. There's nothing I have not yet answered that will make me blush. I promise you that.
No, I'm not trying to make you blush. But when I do read a book, I always go to the very first page, even with the acknowledgments and everything, just to see where the author is before I get into it. Now, do you read any views that complain about, that may not be familiar and not read those few pages, like grammar, because you explain in the very beginning, it's not a mistake, it's that world. Do you come across that?
Right. What I've had to do is, even within the genre that I write in, there's a big time debate going on in terms of using that particular grammar structure, because they're like, well, they'll still get it because they'll understand the power dynamic and things along those lines, and all that other good stuff and whatever. And I made it clear to a lot of folks when I made the decision to do the grammar structure that I set up for the series is about as true to form as you're going to get when it comes to that particular lifestyle. There are some misses right now that still use the uppercase, lowercase. We always call it flashy speak, so to speak. And they use it so much, and it's so ingrained in them that it's very difficult to type a sentence otherwise, at least for them anyway. So, you know, so when I see an email that'll come in from someone that's in the lifestyle and has been in there for a long time, and I see the capitalized letters when it comes to referring to me, not necessarily personally speaking, but if they're saying you and your and all that, and I see those capitalized, I know what I'm dealing with, and it doesn't necessarily make my skin crawl, if you want to say. There are some that have taken exception to it, and I understand that, but you have to understand the nature of the genre before you can sit here and say, well, you know, it took me a minute to get along and get through the grammar and understand what's going on before I could finally read it. And once they actually got through it and they understood it and they kind of figured it out, it's almost like a light switch came on, and now all of a sudden they enjoy the hell out of it. It's funny to me at times, but, you know, I just take it all with a grain of salt because, you know, it's just like with any other artist. You know, not everybody's going to enjoy your work. I've had my share, even though they don't necessarily show up on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. I have had my share of critics when it comes to the style of writing. You know, there were a couple that even said that they just really just couldn't get into it because they couldn't connect with my characters, especially my married couple. And I was, you know, kind of feeling like, okay, so what type of relationship do you expect? I told them, even when I send review requests to people, I make it clear to them that it's not a conventional relationship that you're expecting. You know, there are certain aspects of this relationship that might have you looking a little sideways, but trust me when I say that it works when it's all said and done. And even with that disclaimer and that warning, and they just kind of forget. So, you know, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
But you do let us
just
know.
Talking to them.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Lisha.
That's okay.
You do let us know up front, you know, about that, and as far as, like, submissives and dominant. And once you get into it, now when I see it, it makes, you know, a light bulb goes off. I know which role that person, I guess, would be.
That was the main focus anyway, was to, you know, to give people as much of an indoctrination as possible. That's really what book one was all about. It was never meant to be a standalone, if you want to say. It literally was a near 300-page introduction into what's going to be coming up, because once we get into Legacy, once we get into Tempest, once we get into the next four books behind those first three, I'm not going to spend as much time with the nuts and bolts of it. I'm just going to be rolling. And if you stay with me from book one up until whatever book that you decide to pick up from and go from there, you'll already know a lot of the machinations and the mannerisms, everyone involved. But, you know, and by then you won't care because you know what you're dealing with.
Right. Just pick it up and roll with it.
Absolutely.
And we were actually just talking about that when we opened up the show. We always have like a small discussion, and we talk about maybe what, you know, whatever book we're reading at that time. And we were talking about Cash and Aaron Bebo. They have a pinoff where they have two authors, two books, but the books have the same titles. And we were talking about how all authors have a different pen style. They all write a certain different way. You know, even though you enjoy one author, when you venture off to read another author's book, you cannot expect that author to write the same way. You know, they compile their thoughts differently. Their climax is different. Some people want to climax you throughout the book. Some people want to give you a little bit in the middle and drag you through and then dump you on the end. You know, so it all depends on how that author what their pen style is. So a lot of times,
right.
And I know as an author, that would probably be kind of frustrating because you have somebody expecting you to write a particular way, and it's like, as a reader, I know you never have that expectation that everything will be the same when you go and you
mm-hmm.
read another person's book. It's always going to be different. So
right.
It's funny, we were just talking about that when you said that. Do you have any upcoming books or tours or projects that you want to let us know about?
Well, right now I haven't yet gotten the blog tours together just yet. I'm trying to wait until we get into May to be able to get those to come into some sort of fruition. But I know I've got several different blog talk radio shows that are lined up towards the end of May that I'll be doing. I'll be going back online with Cyrus Webb and Conversations Live. I'll also be dealing with Lisa Muhammad and the Divas Literary World. I'll be dealing with her towards the end of the month as well. I'm trying to remember what else I'm dealing with. Hold on one sec. Yeah. And just different other conversations and different blog talk radio shows. And, you know, I think I'm starting to finally make some headway with some of the book clubs as well. Now they've kind of stopped shying away from the material, I guess. And I guess it's because some of their members have already read 50 Shades of Grey, and I try my best to avoid even saying that particular series or book or whatever. And there's a reason for that, but Tony, you already know that. But once they, it's for some strange reason, it's become more of a pet peeve for me. Because now it's always like you have to wait for them to do it before you believe that we'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably been my biggest pet peeve. You want to see somebody else go out with it, and you'll support it and tweet it and spread the word and all that other good stuff and whatnot. And then someone of our color comes and does something similar, and one, they want to get a copycat. And two, they want to yell, well, you know, is there anything like that? Because, you know, I want to see whether or not you can come something that's similar or whatever the case may be. And if it's not anywhere near what they anticipated as far as what they've already read in that same genre, it becomes a sticking point.
That's true. But shoot, 50 Shades of Grey, they ain't got nothing. They must didn't read Pussy Trap by Nene Capri, honey, because 50
right.
Shades of Grey ain't got nothing on the Pussy Trap, so...
I
read it, but I didn't finish it because I was like, okay, where's the plot? Where's the storyline? I couldn't. I was like, oh, my God, I just can't. There's no storyline here. It's just he's just who he is, and this is what y'all do every other page. There's nothing else in here?
Yeah.
That's true.
Trust me. I think that was pretty much part of it as far as that was. Is that, you know, you want, I mean, yes, it's nice to throw all those different elements in and try to be as risque and open minded as you can possibly get and things along those lines. But at the same time, you know, most of your readers, they still want to find out if there's something that they can get into. And I that was one thing that I tried to instill with the first storyline anyway, was to, you know, just kind of mix and match as much as I could and give people a reason to care about them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And once they began caring about them, it made it easier to go ahead and move into the next book and then be able to move into the next book. You know, things along those lines. I mean, my beta readers are about ready to strangle me because of what happened inside of Legacy alone.
Don't give that away. I haven't gotten to that point yet.
Well, no, I'm not. I don't dare. I don't dare. That's not no.
I'm getting there.
I got no problems with that. That's not an issue.
That's good. But yeah, don't give it away because I'm gonna have to find me a corner and get and one click some of your books and be in a corner where can't nobody see behind me and read it.
No arguments there. No arguments there. I will say though that I've had a lot of fun even getting away from the genre that I'm known for. I've actually had a lot of fun getting into a different aspect as far as the paranormal realm is concerned. I've always been a big fan of it as a reader, but I wasn't sure if I could do it justice as a writer. And it wasn't until I actually did a novella for an editor that, unfortunately, the anthology has not yet come out yet. But I've found a different niche inside of the paranormal realm where not very many writers are actually dealing with that particular type of paranormal being. And that would be the male demon lovers or the incubus.
Okay. So Shakir, you finish your statement.
Not a problem. No, what I was saying was that you'll probably see something from Curtis in that aspect as well. As far as the paranormal realm is concerned, I think that's gonna probably be that staple that comes in at that point. Also, but yeah, I think I'm gonna have a lot of fun with that based on the novellas that I've already written.
I'm looking forward to it. But I was gonna say, Shakir, we have had fun with you in the clubhouse tonight. We are so honored to have you once again. And can you just tell everyone how they can reach you or follow you or tweet you, as Lucia would say?
I put everything on my website at ShakirRashawn.com. They can find Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook. I actually even have a media page where they can see other interviews that I've done. As soon as we get done with this particular link that you guys have, I'll be adding that to the website later on tonight as well. So it's everything that they need to find, they'll be able to find it on that website.
Well, we thank you, and we hope you've enjoyed yourself with us as well.
I had an absolute ball. I'd love to do it again sometime soon.
Absolutely, absolutely. We will love to have you back, especially once new genres pop in. I think that the fact that you're branching off into multiple genres is a wonderful thing, because I always say, you know, we have only a handful of authors, but if you think about all the genres that we have, there are not many black authors or urban authors in those different genres. So the fact that you are branching out is awesome. And I definitely commend you for that. Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Not a problem. Tell your wife we said hello. Thank you for kicking it in the clubhouse with us. Thank you for all the listeners, the streamers, and the chatters. We will catch you in 2 weeks when we have our next author spotlight. Other than that, we will see you guys tomorrow on Writing Royalty Radio. We have, we consider it our community segment. And it's going to be topic of mother's love, and we will have author Charnell Williams and activist and CEO Lorraine Taylor will be in the clubhouse on tomorrow. And of course, as always, Author Wives will be back on Sunday, the 27th. The topic is chapters and titles, and we will see y'all then. Good night, everybody. Have a wonderful evening. Night.
Yeah, not but flavor. Let's go.
My love for you stay thicker than a sticker. I was down with you when niggas wasn't checking for ya, for real. Triple OG, drunk in love, I held it down in these streets, for real. How you gonna mention no condition? Keeping with tradition, and I know you out here tricking. Knick-knack, paddy-whack, give a dog a bone, I let that dog roam, and he found his way home. Not to mention, I keep the body finger-licking good. Now you Hollywood, I miss my thug from the hood. Been hurt so many times, I heard your many lines. Sitting, waiting, contemplating, flirting with these guys. I only do it cause I know it makes you mad, and we take it to the bed. Best sex I ever had. I can't front, you're the one for me. In the sheets, in the streets, unconditionally nuanced.
Sensing hesitation. and the way that you relay your love to me. Trying your best and see how imperfect, perfect love can be. Oh, I know you've been hurt before. I know how it is when you're trying to find you. Cause I've been hurt before, and I've been in repair mode. I know what it takes to get through. Can't let that phase make you give away us, give up on trust. Cause that's when we start to argue. We shouldn't have to fight to make love, and we ain't gotta break up to make up. Cause there's no obligation, cause our foundation is more than enough. Oh,
it's not conditional,
not conditional, not conditional.
When it comes to loving you, I know it's not traditional,
not traditional, not traditional.
When it comes to your conversation that you're starting to compare me to him, but he ain't me no any many man. There's no comparison. You gotta let go of the past, or it's gonna hold us back, girl. You gotta put down your bags and believe I'm better than that. I know what it takes to get through. Can't let that phase make you give away up, give up on trust. Cause that's when we start to argue.